The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests of Reality Realty are not necessarily the views or opinions of Northumberland 89.7 FM. The information given is designed to be informative and helpful. You should always consult a professional when buying or selling your home. Northumberland County. Reality Realty is on the air. We are Northumberland 89.7's real estate talk show. We will talk about all things real estate, and we have a direct focus on Northumberland County and all the communities within it. I am Dave Smith, certified home inspector, and he is Dale Bryant, real estate broker.
Good morning, Dave Smith, home inspector.
Very nicely done, Dale. You read your script very well. So it's the May 2-4 weekend on the horizon, or as the kids say, is that what they still say? Do they still say that, Dale? Do they still say the May 2-4 weekend?
You know what, Dave, if you were saying it back when, I don't know.
Do you remember that era, Dale, when we used to rock and roll all night and party every day?
Are you suggesting things have changed?
Yes, things have changed dramatically. All night is 10:30 for me now.
Yeah, that's a late one.
Yeah, that's a late night. Pretty sad when the only reason I'm up until 11 o'clock is because I'm working. Otherwise, I'm sleeping. But things are rocking and rolling in real estate here in Northumberland County. But of course, you'll present those facts, the data on Snapshot. Another cultural reference. We don't need no stinking facts because I'm really busy. I know you're really busy, right, in the real estate market. I mean, we want your facts, Dale. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, okay. I thought you were quoting me the lyrics to another song.
Well, it was, because you were looking vague over there, yeah. So I had to help you along there. So this week, I simply couldn't find the 40-some hours it usually takes me to prepare for the show, because last night around 10 o'clock, a cryptic email message from a Mr. Dale Bryant. Do you know tomorrow's Thursday is what my little screen said to me. But fear not, Reality Realty listeners, we have an action-packed show. The best I could do in 17 minutes of prep time. So we have the venerable, and he's sitting here smiling at me because I looked up venerable, because I start to use these words and then I have to look in the dictionary and make sure they're not insulting.
That you're using them correctly.
Mr. James McGrath, or Jim McGrath, and I will tell you, venerable is a compliment, Jim, unless you go three or four definitions down, and then it starts to make a lot of references to ancient and old. So you decide whether or not that's a compliment or not. But James McGrath of the aptly named James McGrath Law Office right here in Northumberland County. And we also have our usual lineup, right, Dale?
Yes, sir. We're going to be doing the home inspection tip of the week, as always. We will do, as you mentioned earlier, Snapshot, which is a snapshot of today's residential real estate market here in Northumberland County. And we'll be looking at points to ponder, whatever that might be today, Dave.
Well, I'm going to do the home inspection tip of the week. And I have to say, and I will say this myself, I'm doing a fantastic job on these. And I say it myself because you're not saying that. So part 112 of my 2,394 part series, building inspection or home inspection, what's the diff? On site, I often find myself clarifying the differences between a home inspection and a building inspection.
What's the diff, Dave?
Now you throw me off.
Okay.
Sorry. All right, I'm going to start at the beginning. On site, I often find myself clarifying the difference between a home inspection and a building inspection, and not just to be annoying, because that's not something I'm capable of, but because it's important to note the differences. A professional home inspection is an examination of the current condition of a house. It is not an inspection to verify compliance with appropriate codes. That's a building inspection. And a building inspection is a term often used for building code compliance inspections. And it's key that you know that. Because, yes, building inspectors deal with and ensure buildings and homes meet building codes, and home inspectors make visual inspection of homes to provide a written professional opinion of the condition of your home. Where and why I mention this is that most folks' exposure to home inspection is from the TV shows, which are very dramatic. Often the inspector is pointing out that this or that is not up to code, and the inspector should have caught it as they rip out the drywall or the flooring. And the fact is that a home inspection is non-invasive. That is, we, the buyer, the agent, and the home inspector do not own the home at the time of the inspection, and we are to leave it exactly as found. So there's no ripping out drywall or any of that stuff. Like I say, it makes for good TV, but it's not reality. Reality, I got that little plug in there, Reality Realty. Certainly, it's my role as a home inspector to report on any condition I find that may affect the budget of the purchase, and whether that may be electrical, structural, plumbing, etc. If it appears to be a condition that is beyond my qualifications, I report it as so. Sort of bump it up the ladder, I guess is a good way to put it. It's important to note that a building code inspector is not trained to do home inspector. That is, a home inspector is not building inspector light. This is it's a different field altogether with different responsibilities, okay? A building code inspector will not be doing probably about 90% of what I do when I do an inspection in your home. It's also important to note that a home inspection is a legal, private, confidential document shared with no one but the person that hired the home inspector, unless that person requests the home inspector to do so. That is, if you are acting, as you often are, acting as an agent for the buyer.
That's all I do.
That's all you do. No, that's fine. I mean, I don't even give you a report unless I've granted permission or requested by the person who hired me, and that is usually the buyer. So building inspection or home inspection, that's the diff, Mr. Bryant, my home inspection tip of the week.
So if I could just go back to the part where you said that the building inspection, Dave, tends to have a bit more drama, the ones we've seen on television.
Well, what I mean to say
My follow-up would be, yes, there's no drama when doing a home inspection.
Well, except for the incredible looks of the inspector himself, which is often causes drama because it causes a lot of
dramatic
tension out
okay.
there.
I think,
have you seen a lot of that in my inspections? A lot of tension because of my Adonis.
Good looks?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
A lot, probably. But a go lot of, carry on.
But I don't want to be sour grapes and too...
jealous on
yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly.
Good for you.
All right, let's take a look at Snapshot, which is a look at the residential real estate market here in Northumberland County. This, Dave, is the first time that the number of homes has actually gone down in weeks and weeks and weeks from the past
number
month.
Number of homes available.
Number of homes sold.
Sold
over the past month. So 124 homes over the past 4 weeks have sold here in Northumberland County, residential homes. And for sale, though, we are up. We are at 404 homes on inventory, whereas last week we were reporting 388. So that substantially went up. So inventory
gap
up
is widening.
We'll see what that does to the absorption rate later on. So the average listing price of real estate sold over the past 12 months remains at $304,000. And the average selling price over the past 12 months here in Northumberland County remains at $294,000. And so that means, on average, people are still getting approximately 96.8% of their asking price in a market time of 79 days. And so let's take a look at that absorption rate and see what difference it's made, the inventory and the amount of homes sold over the past month. And in fact, it made a small difference. We went from a 33% absorption rate to a 31% absorption rate, but we are still well within a seller's market. And if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, and you're going to want this information that's specific to you, your area, your property type, the price band your home is in. So talk to your realtor to understand the market information most relevant to you. And these statistics and the information required to calculate the absorption rate come to us from the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors. Today, Dave, a report on the mortgage rates, the best 5-year fixed is still at 2.49%. And the best 5-year variable is at prime minus 0.85, which equals 2% for a 5-year variable. And these mortgage rates come to us from mortgage broker Carol Ann Bryant from the Mortgage Wellness Group right here in Northumberland County.
Well, thank you very much, Dale and Carol Ann. Reality Realty's points to ponder. The points to ponder today is technology bridging the development gap. The news over the last couple of weeks about the new Tesla house battery, got me reading some interesting articles that drew interesting comparisons or parallels to cell phones over the last, say, 15 years and the way they've ramped up development in developing countries. It's in regards to the battery, going back to the battery, it's so easy to write off these batteries and solar power, the power of them to recharge them, as too expensive or as toys for the rich. But remember this, there was a time, almost a 60 to 70 year development gap for telephones and electronic communication between developing nations and developed nations. The head start on the infrastructure seemed impossible for those countries to make up, and the cost monumental to cash-strapped countries, to say nothing of the skilled workforce necessary to build and maintain it. And when you think of electrical power generation, hydro and telephone lines, etc., needing to be run. But in an incredibly short time, cell phone technology has put those developing countries into the fast lane. And in fact, cell phone use in developing countries has now surpassed that of developed countries by percentage.
That's neat.
Which is pretty neat. Yeah, 3/4 of the world now have easier access to mobile phone and mobile phone technologies than a bank account, electricity, or clean water. Now, that sounds like a sad story, but I'm going to get back to that.
Or some may say, what's your point?
What's your point? Yes. Yes, thank you. That some would be you. Following a mobile-first path, the developing world is using mobile apps to build and educate rather than entertain. And that's quite different in the developed countries where we use it for entertainment, more so than education. But they've effectively jumped the hard-earned, long-term learning curve and development of the infrastructure that developed countries struggled through or developed for over 100 years in about 10 to 15 years. So if we were to take that and apply it to, say, solar power and batteries for houses, developing countries can assess, order, and learn about best applications, availability, and payment for the products they need because of cell phone technology and the web. They could theoretically eliminate the infrastructure needed for the established systems, like power. And for a time, the needs and demands of capacity would be lesser in a developed world than it would be in the developed world based on their lifestyle. The massive market will inevitably bring down the cost of production, lowering prices, improving the research and development for all. But unlike cell phone technology, this off-grid power generation can help address the other issues like clean water, sanitation, and food production. There are certainly some scary stories out there in the world every day. Technology can sometimes seem self-serving and a threat to the environment, but this story, these technologies, make me pretty excited for the future. To me, it's a real glimmer of hope for, without being too dramatic, for mankind. There might just be hope for us, Mr. Bryant. Well, at least me, Dale. Technology bridging the development gap. That's my points to ponder.
Well, Dave, that was interesting. You got a little philosophical at the end there.
I'm a pretty philosophical guy.
But you know what, Dave? Good story. Good story.
You're holding the hand out now, so this is a but, is what this is.
This is a but. But we also got to think about what kind of carbon footprint is the creation of all these big batteries doing to the environment. I mean, it's not all just a happy, nothing could go wrong story, right?
So do you ever drink bottled water? Dale, have I ever seen you with a bottle of water in your hand, a plastic bottle of water?
I just go right to the creek and just take it straight from the creek.
From the creek, all right. From the creek.
But that's true. It's a carbon footprint to create it. It's where do we get rid of these batteries? I mean, we're talking about waste, just household waste. What happens now when we introduce a house-sized battery?
You just throw it in the river.
And just throw it in
the creek.
Then I might
hopefully
go to the
one you're drinking out of. Could you please not poke holes in my points to ponder? I was very proud of this.
Well, it was a great piece for you, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. I see you appreciated it. Carry on, Mr. Bryant. This is Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. Join Dale and me right after this short break, and we will be welcoming Mr. James McGrath of James J. McGrath Law Office on Queen Street right here in Coburg. We'll be talking about law as it pertains to inheritance, a family estate, and starting the conversation with your family concerning the family home.
Steel Dealer Days have landed. The perfect time to shop for the number one selling brand of handheld power equipment in Canada. With blowers starting at $179.95, grass trimmers $139.95, and chainsaws $199.95. Not at the Home Depot, not at Canadian Tire. Visit your local Steel Dealer for expert advice, on-site service, and Canada's number one selling brand of handheld power equipment.
Steel Dealer Days. Visit Gilmer's Home Hardware Building Center at 177 Toronto Road, Port Hope for expert steel service.
Hey, boys and girls, this is Jack Nicholson. Make sure you come and see me and my celebrity friends, as well as 35 legendary singers. Like who? Like Neil Young, Bob Dylan, Johnny Cash, and Willie Nelson. These guys are as good as it gets.
Celebrities by Houston McPherson at the Concert Hall at Victoria Hall in Cobourg, 8 p.m. on June 20th. For ticket information, call 905-372-2210 or visit concerthallatvictoriahall.com.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local and only real estate talk.
Right on. Good one. You threw that in yourself, I think. Warm Reality Realty, welcome to our guest today. Would it be James? You want James or Jim?
Jim
McGrath.
Jim does good.
Jim McGrath. Okay, Jim McGrath.
James is for the bank.
All right. and the lawyers, whose law office is, of course, right here in Cobourg. Jim is also the host of our own Law Talk every Tuesday at noon on 89.7. Welcome, Jim. Dale and I are happy to have you here today.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here. I'm gratified that you guys thought enough of me to ask me. I mean, I don't know who listens to the show out there, but
neither do we. Neither do we, Jim.
My mom does.
My mom and dad.
I'm impressed with you guys. You've got those big words at your fingertips.
Oh, big words are
venerable.
Venerable.
Market absorption.
Market absorption.
I had no idea about that.
Points.
New one on me. Yeah.
We put points to ponder, and we actually put it in a 3-word phrase.
And Dave, you prepared all that in less than 17 minutes?
I did. 17. Well, it was 18 minutes, but I wasn't counting. I wasn't that specific.
Little, it takes me at least 30 to prepare my show.
A little careless with the truth, maybe. Anyways, Jim, anyone who listens to Law Talk knows that you provide a full scope of legal counsel, legal services. And today we're going to look at the family estate, which can include the primary residence. It can include recreation-type properties, cottage property, and investment properties. And we also want to talk about, say, recommended practices to prevent any uncertainty and unrest within a family during this process.
So this is like an all-day show.
This is, if we could just sum this
well,
up.
Things got serious real fast then.
In the next 42 minutes, yeah.
So as the population ages, more and more of us are facing not only some tough decisions, but really tough conversations in regards to our parents' home, the inheritance, wills, vacation properties. So it can be a very painful and difficult to navigate conversation. But all that more difficult if we don't discuss it at all, and a parent is left behind and left in the sad position of having to deal with it. So let's talk about the family home first. What would your advice be to families facing these realities? Specifically, what should they do to begin the conversation if the parents are still with us and competent to make these decisions? Or anything you could share with us today in an approach to these conversations?
Well, the first thing and what I'll tell everybody is virtually no matter what the size of your estate, get a will done. Even if it's a simple one, get it done. Just the act of thinking about what goes into your will is going to force you to think about what happens when you're not there anymore. And that's absolutely critical. Nobody wants to think about it. And I hear about that. I hear that all the time. Oh, George doesn't want to deal. The wife will come in. George doesn't want to deal with his will. He thinks he does his will, he's going to die. Well, folks, the truth is you're going to die.
You're going to die.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to die, and you're going to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. You can minimize the taxes by doing a good will. You won't live longer by doing a good will, but it really won't shorten your life. If you don't do a will, you're going to end up leaving a lot of pain and a lot of expenses behind because there's going to be a lot of argument. Unless you have literally no estate, you're going to end up eating up that estate in the expenses of sorting out your affairs. So how do you start the conversation? That depends on the people. I'm not a social worker, so I can't tell you how to really manage these things. But, what I would do is bring up in discussion with your parents some newspaper article or some news story, and there's lots of them out there, about how badly an estate went. And some of these estates are huge. I mean, look at the Nicole Smith and that whole estate thing. That was just nuts. And there was a man who was basically a billionaire when he died. So you would have thought he'd be a little better prepared and they would have sorted that stuff out. And as it was, he wasn't. Here in Canada, years ago now, people remember Harold Ballard. That was
a massive estate. It was a mess for a decade, I think.
The fight between the trustees. And I believe that the fight in Harold Ballard's estate was the genesis of the downfall of the Maple Leafs.
Wow.
Wow.
That, you know, that's I wonder if anybody's written about that.
They should. They should.
They should.
The stress on the team that estate.
I can
even
see
the
how
Steve Stavro thing and all of that stuff.
But Jim, do you think that I can imagine that conversation starting at a kitchen table in the family room of a family. But I also wonder if there's any benefit of that conversation going on at the lawyer's office, at a conference table where maybe the lawyer can be a third party that helps direct it. Is there anything to that?
Well, yes, there is. And as the estate gets larger, that becomes more significant and more viable.
Mm-hmm.
For most people, their estates are not huge, and a smallish estate, we'll say, is $500,000 or less. You don't want to spend forever in the lawyer's office.
Right.
But the lawyer should spend some time with you. I'm not saying don't do that. For instance, when people come into my office, I'll sit them down, and I have a questionnaire that I ask, and it's about 5 pages long, and we go through the questionnaire no matter what size your estate is, because that gives me a picture of what we're really dealing with and how complicated a will we need or don't need.
Mm-hmm.
And if something happens, we at the same time have a record of where everything is.
Right.
It's not just the lawyer being nosy, not to say lawyers aren't nosy, but it's important that somebody has a decent record of what account to go to, what investment broker to go to, where the bank accounts are, what property we should be looking for when we go into the garage. And all these things should be dealt with. If you go in and the lawyer spends 5 minutes with you and says, okay, we'll do up simple will, then you're not getting service. But expect to spend a little bit of time with your lawyer. As your will gets more complicated and you're trying to do more things, you're going to be spending more time because the questions are going to get, from the lawyer's point of view, more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
From the client's point of view, far more complicated, and they can get complicated really easy.
Mm-hmm.
In a simple will, as most people are going to have, I would say keep the will as simple as possible. Just state the facts. But as the will gets more complex and you're doing things that aren't quite normal, then you want to get more descriptive and explain yourself in the will. You hear these wills on you know, the old movies and that, where it goes into, you know, Lord so-and-so was nasty to me when I was 12 years old, so I'm going to do this with the property he would have normally gotten. You don't need to say that kind of stuff. All you need to say is, you know, John gets this and Martha gets that. But if you're giving something to John and Martha and leaving out Fred, who's also your child, you might want to put something in the will that explains a little bit of why you're leaving Fred out.
So maybe it doesn't get contested.
Exactly, because Fred's going to say, Mom was 85 years old when she made the will, and she just forgot.
Well, and that's, I mean, number one, I think a will, or at least getting your plans out and having the conversation, is two things. It's one of the most unselfish things you can do, because you truly are talking about when you're no longer here. And second to that, it's one of the greatest gifts you can give, I think, to the people that you're leaving behind, is to take that time and make sure that conversation happens and these things are laid out. And you talk about, I forget who you said, but, you know, someone who's left out. That way,
if Fred.
nobody likes Fred, let's face it. But when it comes down to it, then it's not up to the other siblings or the other people involved to explain why Fred was left out. Frankly, if any good can come from it, you're not there to have to explain your decisions, but you're not leaving that stress and that tension left on the others behind.
What you need to do in a will that does anything out of the ordinary is ensure that there is an explanation for your decisions, that your intent is clear. Like, I left Fred out because I meant to leave Fred out. In fact, what I've done with people who are doing something like that, I'll tell them, leave Fred $1,000. Then they know
that it was addressed.
You did think about him. You did think about him.
Not a dollar, though. A dollar. Because Fred would be
That would be really insulting.
Fred's not happy about the dollar, even if it's a shiny one.
None of it seems to go over well in my mind right now.
No. If there's been an accident or one of the two parents have fallen ill and it becomes clear the family home is simply not going to work for one or more of the parents, what is the next step for the family when they're in that position?
Well, we're making the assumption here that one of the parents at least is competent, because that's important. Because if neither of the parents are competent, they can't do a will.
It's too late now.
If mom's dead and dad has Alzheimer's, it's too late to do the will. So, you know, get on this. Mm-hmm. Keep a will. As soon as you have any property at all, as soon as you've got a bank account with $30,000 in it, make a will. And you may be 25, you may be 30, and just update it, once every 5 years, once every 10 years. But family home, you've got to set out what your priorities are. And this is very often family discussion. Is this just a place that mom and dad lived in that they moved to? Or is this the place where all four of the kids were mm-hmm. brought up
and
for
their
entire
life? That's a key thing.
And the next question is, who wants it? Does anybody really want it?
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I've got one in Indonesia, one in Florida, one in Toronto, one out in Seattle. If I had a family home, which went a long time ago anyway, which of those children are going to come back here to get it? Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen.
They're going to change. They'd have to change their life.
Yes, they would. Yeah. So that's something,
That's
but then I've got another daughter who lives right here in Coburg. So you got to think about what you're going to do. Generally, this isn't TV, it isn't the movies, and families don't necessarily just go on blissfully forever. Siblings battle. And very often, most of the time, the home is the biggest single asset. So that's where the money's going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
You can't leave it to all the kids. That is just not practical, not going to work. So the usual answer is we're going to sell it. Any one of the kids gets an opportunity to buy it from the estate.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've got to go to break, but so at that case, would you then get a realtor involved to come up with the market value on that property, by the way, so that it doesn't
Not at that point, because you don't want to set – on something like real estate, you don't want to set the market value at the date of the will because the person may live
another 15 years. Right.
You're going to need to do that at the time of death.
Okay.
Well, let's go to break, Dave.
All right. This is Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, Truly Local Radio. Join Dale and me. We've got Jim McGrath of the McGrath Law Office on the sometimes difficult discussion on the inheritance of the family home or vacation property. So please, stay with us.
That does not sound good.
I know. And who are you?
I'm the Midas Touch, and I think you need me.
It's that bad?
Not for long. Head to Midas for a comprehensive brake system evaluation, and if needed, we can install brake pads and shoes that come with a lifetime guarantee. How's that sound?
Like sound advice?
Nice one.
Visit Midas at 6 Strathy Road in Coburg for great customer service from licensed Midas mechanics. For details, give them a call at 905-372-1959.
Trust the Midas Touch.
Got a cottage? Make the indoors as great as the outdoors with Shaw Direct Satellite TV. Sign up today and get your first month free plus a $100 hardware credit. Conditions apply. Visit shawdirect.ca/cottage for details.
Hi, I'm Gwyn Sheltema, co-host with Felicity Signal Reed of Word on the Hills. Do you like books and stories? Are you interested in the world of writing and publishing? Each week on Sunday at 1 p.m., we introduce you to the writing and publishing talent right here in Northumberland. Listen to writers read from their work and get a glimpse into their lives. Join Felicity and me on Sunday at 1 p.m. as we bring you Word on the Hills, right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.
Welcome back to Reality Realty. We've got Jim McGrath here from Law Office right here in Coburg, and can we spend a little bit of time on vacation properties? And I'm thinking more, just for clarification, I'm thinking more of the local variety rather than, say, the out-of-country winter homes. Is it fair to say that the right time to get these decisions sorted out is today, if not yesterday?
Yes, and I'm glad we're staying in Canada, because when you start talking about vacation properties in the States, it gets really complicated. And one thing I think that should be overriding all of our thoughts in this, there is developing out there a certain sense of entitlement about by us about our parents' estates. And what has to be remembered at all times is that it's their money. Mm-hmm. We think of it as part of the estate, but it's not part of the estate until they're dead. It's their money. And talking about the family home, you may have to sell the family home simply to be able to afford to keep the parent who now is in a nursing home and may go on for another 15 years. So what do we do about the cottage property? The problem with the cottage property is the emotional attachment.
Absolutely.
If you've had it for a long time, the family, that's where all the best memories of the family are, and they want to hang on to it. But this is a real minefield. You've got to think about things like how many children are involved. If there's three or four or five children involved in the cottage property, how are you going to split that up? You have to seriously think about how much it's worth. There are more fights over cottage properties. I've just finished up a couple of estates in the last year that was the main sticking point, is what went on with the cottage property. A lot of people think, oh, we'll just put it in the joint names of all the kids. What you have to remember first is that owning property jointly is not a democracy. If four of the kids want to do something and one of the kids don't want to do that thing, it's not going to happen.
It's more of a dictatorship, almost a dictatorship.
Well, it's
in that regard.
If for anything to happen, the decision has to be unanimous. So if I want to do something and the other kids don't want to do it, then it's not going to get done. It works both ways. Also, an important thing is if you have it jointly, say you, me, and Dale own a piece of property and I want my money out of it, I'm going to go to the court and get what's called an order of partition and sale, and it's going to be sold, whether you guys think that's a good idea or not. So there's a lot of opportunity for argument, for dissatisfaction with what's going on. Who uses the property the most? I mean, now we're talking adult kids, right? My parent, yep, who is 85, owns the property, can't really go there herself anymore, but loves it, doesn't want to let it go, and wants to give it to me and my four siblings, who are now all in our 60s, right? Some still working, some not working. Who gets to go up there? Well, I can go up there for a month out of a year, but my sister can only take a week.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's a reality in almost every family nowadays.
You know, with the black flies and the weather, the best weeks are the end of July and beginning of August. Who gets those weeks, and who gets to go up during black fly season? All these things are going to be a problem, because now you got me and my family and my kids, and you got my sister and her family and her kids, and we can't all be there at the same time, unless you've got a really palatial place, which is a different question entirely. Those things have to be worked out ahead of time, and you have to figure out a mechanism for dealing with it if you're going to keep the cottage property. And there are a couple mechanisms for doing that are helpful.
Okay. Are you going to share those with us?
Well, I could.
I was hoping you would.
One possibility is to put it into trust. If you put the property into trust, then the person putting it into trust, which is obviously the parent that owns it, can decide on the terms and can decide on the way that decisions are made. Now, trusts in this circumstance are good for the life of the trustee, of the beneficiary of the trust, plus 21 years. So it comes to an end. Mm-hmm. But by that time,
21 years from now,
pretty scattered. But it gives you that opportunity. Another possibility is to form an incorporation to hold the property. Now, this will impose a little bit of democracy, because what you do is you give each child a share of equal value of the property. And so then they essentially appoint a director, and then they do make decisions by majority vote. The majority of shares wins.
Better than the all or nothing.
That's better than the scenario. All or nothing. But still, it has problems. Now, with both of these issues, you may have serious tax consequences. The first thing you've got to look at is capital gains. If you've owned the property for a long time, and I've seen properties been owned since the early 60s, capital gains came in after that. Now you have to value the property as of the date capital gains came in, and then value the property as of the date of death. And that increase in that value, and it's almost always an increase, sometimes by a couple $100,000, you're going to pay capital gains on that. And mm-hmm. that's going to be a big whack. Mm-hmm. Where is that money going to come from? Is the money in the estate? You've disposed the capital gain. You've disposed the property to the children. Who's going to be able to afford to pay that capital gains? It could be substantial. It could be $50,000, $60,000 quite easily.
And that's money they literally would have to pay.
Someone's got to pay it. The tax man always gets his money. Now, that happens. That disposition happens on death. It happens if you put it into a company. It happens if you put it into a trust. All of these things will be considered to be a disposition. Mm-hmm. And the disposition is going to incur the tax. Now, we've talking about a family with five kids in it. A couple of kids have done really well. It's not a problem for them. A couple of the kids are sort of average factory workers. 50 grand would be quite a chunk. And one of them has sort of not done quite so well for a variety of reasons. And they just don't have any cash. How are you going to make that fair? Mm. How you know?
Very difficult to. Yeah.
Very difficult. It takes a lot of thought and a lot of consideration. And if you're talking about that kind of situation where you've got a valuable cottage property, you not only want to sit down and talk with your lawyer, you want to sit down and talk with your accountant. Because the tax consequences are just running around in circles.
Right.
If you do get this, let's say we get through, we swim through those waters and we come out the other side, and we'll, let's just say we have four owners now. We have four children, all equal owners in this property. By extension then, are the spouses then, because of the community aspect of it, are they also owners of this property now? If they own, and I know nothing about the law, so I understand it that if my wife and I are married for X number of years and we co-own our property 50-50, as I understand it. So is that an extension that's the way it works with a property like this as well? Do we now have eight people with equal voices in a property amongst four children plus spouses?
I was going to say something funny there, but I decided it's too dangerous, so I'm just going to stay with it.
Just because as much as I say it's been difficult, these conversations are difficult, I often see it's even more difficult for the spouses because they don't even have that blood connection, and they feel that not only are they responsible, they feel that after 25 years or 40 years or whatever the amount of time it is, even 5 years, that they've invested a lot in this property as well, and they're tied to it. So they feel they should have, and rightfully so, should have an opinion.
Absolutely. Now, if you just put it into a straight trust or put it into a straight corporation, the spouse of the beneficiary child is going to be entitled to whatever their share would be as though the spouse and the person broke up. So you're going to have your equalization payment, and that is going to be figured in there. So that does become important. They don't, until something like that happens, they don't get to formally be part of the decision-making process. But it wouldn't be smart to bring your wife into that discussion, Dale, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Now, you can set up the trust so that spouses aren't involved. Of course, the child can muck up that decision. You can set up the corporation so that spouses are involved and so that you can control to some extent who the shares can be sold to or transferred to. So you can put those rules in. But it's difficult. And if someone really gets a bee in their bonnet about it, wants their money out, they can take it to court. And the court will very often collapse these rules in order to get the issue settled. Once again, our family of five, we've got that fifth child with no money and kids, and they want to buy a house for their kids. They could really use the money out of that cottage for the down payment.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, or they live in Indonesia
and
will never use the cottage.
Exactly. Right. So they're going to go to court and say, yes, this trust is there. I'm a beneficiary of the trust, but I can't get anything out of the trust. It doesn't mean no good at all. I want my share of it. So then there's going to have to be a very painful discussion and possibly litigation about how to get at that. So the family thing is one of the drawbacks of hanging onto the cottage per se. The way our laws are set up, it's not friendly to joint ownership. The case of man and wife is a sort of a special situation, but where you've got a bunch of people owning one property that's not easily split up, our laws are not friendly to that. So your easiest set off is to simply say that the children can buy the cottage from the estate. That's going to be the easiest.
I think that's the cleanest way.
It is the cleanest way.
Not everybody love it, but
if you can't afford to contribute to the cottage, I mean, look at the situation where the cottage is ongoing. You've got real estate taxes, which weren't very high in the past but are growing in cottage country because the townships have finally woke up to the fact that they need money. You've got maintenance, and this is a building that for several months is not lived in. So there's going to be roofs and eaves troughs.
And maybe not built the greatest to begin with.
Maybe not. Yep. I've seen some pretty palatial ones, but I've seen some pretty basic 2x4s with a covering over them. You're going to have a well, possibly. You're going to have a septic system. These things are going to, you're going to have your painting. You're going to have animal damage. All these things are going to take money. Well, what do you do about that fifth sibling that doesn't have any money? I don't have the $1,000 to pony up for this year's maintenance.
Yeah, right? Or that replacement of that $20,000 for the new septic tank.
Exactly.
that exactly. I never use because yeah. I live in Indonesia.
Yeah. So right. you've got to consider those kind of things. So what do you do in the trust? You make a trust and you set money aside to take care of the cottage. Somehow that doesn't seem right either because yeah. you still got the one in Indonesia that's not going to come. So now not only have you set aside my share of the cottage, you've also set aside part of my share of the money to take care of the cottage. It gets complicated.
In all these complications, and I realize this is probably a loaded question, but we've discussed these different difficult arrangements. Should each of the parties really then seek their own legal representation? You're talking about it not being friendly. To be frank with you, all due respect, and I know you don't represent all law, but it can be a real challenge for the everyday person to understand the law in the best of times. But when you start using words like it not being friendly, it tells me that I really need somebody sharp on my case. And would that be the case with, say, these four kids and the four spouses? Would it be a good idea then to involve a lawyer on their behalf to make sure that they can meander through these things?
At the beginning, see, the way you're phrasing that, it sounds like there's the children are making the decision. Remember, as said at the beginning, the property belongs to
right.
the mother. It's
okay.
her property.
Okay.
It's her decision. Absolutely get a lawyer involved. Absolutely get an accountant involved if you're talking about those kind of dollars. But the kids got to get what they're given. Now, we would hope that the mother wants to see that her children don't fight with each other, so they're going to take steps to try and make that absolutely clear. And I've seen the situation where, you know, there's two siblings and, you know, I want them both to enjoy it, so I give it to them. And then one is made the executor, and guess who's making all the decisions? And the other one feels I'm not getting to make any decisions here. It's really up to the parent at that time. It should be done in consultation with the kids because, you know, a lot of times, well, everybody loves the cottage. We have beautiful mm-hmm. memories of the cottage. But I know I'm never going to go there again because I'm moving to Indonesia.
Right. So yeah. Have the discussion.
Yeah. Have the discussion. Absolutely.
Well, and an interesting thing, too, is we're talking a lot about the estate and it being in probate and the process of that. The power of attorney is another neat thing we should maybe mention once we come back from break.
Sure.
Well, you've been listening to Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Join us after the break and we'll be asking James about things to consider possibly with tax implications with the inheritance of a property.
Ladies and gentlemen, at Houston McPherson's show on June 20th, you never know who's going to come out next. From Elvis to Jack Nicholson and many more, Houston pulls off impersonations of actors, comedians, presidents, and over 35 singing legends. It's a fast-paced, high-energy show you do not want to miss. Celebrities by Houston McPherson at Victoria Hall in Coburg, 8 p.m. on June 20th. For ticket information, call 905-372-2210 or visit concerthall@victoriahall.com.
Head to the Royal Canadian Legion this month to catch these great events.
The Meat Draw every Friday at 5 p.m. and Saturday at 3 p.m. Did you receive an invitation to attend our Honors and Awards Wine and Cheese Party May 20th at 6 p.m.? Contact the branch for more information. Branch General Meeting will be on May 21st at 7:30 p.m. This is the nomination and election of officers for the new term. Bring your membership card or receipt to vote.
The Royal Canadian Legion Branch 133 is located at 136 Orr Street in Coburg. Call 905-372-2231 and become a member today.
Welcome back. We're on Reality Realty, and for those of us who are just joining us, we've got Jim McGrath of James McGrath Law Office in Coburg, and we're going to talk a little bit about possible tax implications for a parent leaving a family residence of considerable worth, and also of the child or children of those it's left to, and I think Dale's got a burning question here he'd like to have answered.
Yeah, Jim, just before we ended last segment, I mentioned something about having the power of attorney. We've been talking a lot about the will and the estate being in probate, the process and talks leading up to that. But I think equally important is the power of attorney while mom and dad or mom or dad is still alive and they're still thinking straight. What should we be thinking about with the power of attorney?
Absolutely. And that's a very important point to remember that a lot of people aren't very clear on. The power of attorney is only good while the person is alive. The will is only good once they're dead. And that dichotomy is important to keep track of. Now, things to think about in the power of attorney. The attorney is going to be making decisions. Now, with a power of attorney for property is what we're talking about here, that attorney can make any decision that the principal can make simply by signing their name. And they can do that immediately upon having possession of that power of attorney. So incompetence is not necessarily part of it. Mm-hmm. Something to remember. Where is the power of attorney being kept and what do you want them to really do about it? But certainly its prime purpose is to have someone in a decision-making capacity when mom is no longer able to make those decisions. So easiest, cleanest is have one power of attorney, one person making the decisions. You know the decision's going to be made. You can have joint power of attorneys. You can have two, three, or even four or more people in there and allow any one of them to make a decision. That's not going to work very well. You can do it legally, but it's not going to work very well. You can make multiple attorneys, usually two or three, joint power attorneys, which means that they all have to agree on the decision.
Mm-hmm.
So that works. And you can do power of attorneys for different specific things. For instance, we could do a power of attorney just for dealing with items on the cottage.
Right.
And another power of attorney for dealing with my bank account and paying my rent and that kind of thing. So you can get specific about what goes into the power of attorney. Once again, doing that only makes sense if the estate is fairly large or mm-hmm. the asset is fairly significant, like an expensive cottage. But it's a very good idea to have somebody in place that can make those decisions.
Right. Yeah. No, for sure. And that's why I wanted to bring that up, because it's something that happens regular. We see quite often a place go up for sale and there's a power of attorney needing to sign. And it's exactly what you said in the first segment, Jim, where the house has to be sold to help that mom or dad in that care facility to maintain that the expenses there.
Absolutely. That's always something, you know, I'm kind of harp on this issue, but it's something we forget. The property isn't yours yet. It still belongs to your parent,
mm-hmm.
and it's for them. And if they spend it all while they're alive, well, it's theirs to spend.
I had somebody say that who's got adult children, and they're in business, and they said their intention is to spend every single dime before there is no inheritance. I thought it was pretty cute. I was watching one of these restaurant makeover shows, and the only I will tie this in, Dale. Don't give me that look. I will tie it in, okay? The host was talking about something that rang very true with me, and the situation was this. There was a mother who purchased a restaurant for her adult single daughter to run. In the parents' mind, in the mom's eyes, she was actually helping her daughter. She was helping fulfill her dream.
Giving her a job.
She'd given her a great gift. She'd given her a wonderful job, given her this wonderful opportunity. But as the host described it, and from his and the daughter's perspective, it was much different. It was like dropping an incredible load on the daughter, and it was very stressful for the daughter. It carried a whole new level of guilt and fear of failure. Not only was she concerned about failing for her staff and for her responsibilities, people she'd committed to, but then she had mom in the mix as well. And just like we're all still children, when we deal with our mothers and fathers in many cases,
some more than others.
You know, you have that fear of failure in mom and dad's eyes. So I see some real parallels. I think it was a very good way to put it, and the dichotomy of it. But I see some real parallels to the family estate, and certainly the family cottage or vacation home. Do you see that as well in some cases?
Yes, it can be a real problem. And picking up on what you said, I'm going to tell you a story, a case I was involved in about 20 years ago now. And I can't tell you too much about it because this would be easily identifiable people. But the parent owned a fairly large company and had several children. And the company was such that it was sectioned off into separate little businesses. And he wanted each of his children to take part of one of these sections because they were very profitable, make a very good living. And one got one section, did very well and moved up in the company. Another got another section and did okay and just maintained and was happy and got a good income for most of the rest of his life. And the other one, the one I represented, he just wanted to be a truck driver. He was quite happy to work for the main company,
Absolutely.
Be a truck driver, but dad wanted him to like be part of the management, right?
Right.
And he wasn't up for it.
He never stopped being a dad, this man.
Yeah, never stopped being a dad. But this young fellow was just not up for it. He wasn't management material. He knew it. He wanted to go out and buy the Corvette and enjoy himself, which he could easily afford. And as a result, he did not manage the company well. That section of the company basically had to be taken back by the parent company. And he moved out. It was a very sad situation. You have to consider what your children are capable of doing.
Once it gets up to that point
and
in time.
I'd love it if someone gave me a Lamborghini, but I couldn't afford the maintenance on it.
Yep.
I couldn't afford the insurance on it.
Yep.
I couldn't afford the high class storage it needed. You know,
all
I'd love to
aspects.
Have it, but you know, yep. it would cost mm-hmm. more than I make just to take care of the car. So you know, you've got to think about
that.
What do you do with the kid that yep. can't? You know, lovely gift, but unless they can just flip mm-hmm. it and sell it. It may not be a good thing for them.
Well, these are powerful topics. And please, for those parents out there and kids that are thinking, please help your kids with these decisions. If you want to give them a gift of conversation. And let's get these questions answered while you can, when the time is right. But get the conversation started. Make the decisions. And as a family, communicate on what your plans are and what you want. And just make it easier. If you want to give them a gift, give them that gift.
Well, Jim, as we expected, you've been very informative. Thank you for joining Dave and I here on our show this morning.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure as well. And Jim, if somebody is looking for legal counsel, legal services, what's the best way that they can contact you?
Telephone number?
Sure.
I'm in the phone book. Yeah, well, right my number is 905-373-1999. I don't do these shows for advertisement. I just look at them more as a public service.
We do.
But if
this is a local show for local businesses, and we have make no apologies for that.
If you want to get a hold of me, I'm easy. I'm in the book. Call that number, and I'm right beside the post office down on Queen Street.
And, of course, you do Law Talk.
Yes.
I do, in fact, do Law Talk.
And you can listen to Law Talk every Tuesday on Northumberland 89.7 right here at noon hour on Tuesdays. And thank you, Jim. Thanks for joining us.
Do we have a second?
Sure. Go right ahead, Jim.
I've got, I think, 4 commercials on this station.
Oh, yeah.
And people call me and complain about Cletus.
Yep.
The Cletus commercial?
Absolutely.
It's the only one they remember.
Well, I can understand that because it sticks out in people's mind. I know the commercial you're speaking of. Well, Dale, from
yes,
a
sir.
Professional perspective, I've been hopping. I'm on my way to Napanee as soon as we go off the air here today. The real estate market continues to enjoy a record spring, and I am everywhere from Beaudely to Napanee. I ruined my own segue there. Right now, and I know that you've been busy too. Have we even got time to do a show next week, Dale? And what will it be? Will it be about how to eat nutritiously while driving appointment to appointment?
No, nothing like that, Dave. I'm not sure we know anything about that. But
I can assure you we do not.
We're going to be looking at pools and hot tubs.
Okay.
It's getting to that time Excellent. Of year, and we're going to be looking at that.
That's a good way to lose weight, is sit in a hot tub, I think. That's what I understand. You don't know. If you have any questions or comments or any topic suggestions pertaining to real estate, feel free to contact Dave by emailing dave@realityrealty.ca, or you can contact Dale by emailing dale@dalebryant.ca, or call into the radio station at 905-372-2391.
Don't forget to join me, Dale Bryant, real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage, and Dave Smith, certified home inspector, with Pillar to Post Home Inspectors, next Thursday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon for Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Until next week.